The Makni army has stepped aside to allow Iraqi security forces to protect the millions of Shiites making the pilgrimage to Karbala. The procession to the city, 50 miles south of Baghdad, has provided easy targets for Sunni extremists. Attacks this week have killed more than 170 people. David Patel is a professor at Cornell University, and he's a fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University. He says the pilgrimage recalls the earliest days of Shia Islam.
The central event in Shiite history is the martyrdom of Imam Hussein in 680 on the battlefield of Karbala. This event is called Arbain, and it's the pilgrimage to visit his grave 40 days after this martyrdom.
Imam Hussein is the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. He is a revered Shiite martyr. Why does he hold such an exalted place in Shia Islam and not in Sunni Islam?
Where Sunnis also recognize him, he was a member of the Prophet's family and very close to the Prophet. For Shias, though, he is the third imam. He's the rightful leader of the Muslim community. And his leadership position of the Muslim community was usurped. And Shias see his martyrdom, his rising up against tyranny, in which he led a very small force of followers against a massive army, and they were martyred. It's a revolt against tyranny. It's fighting for justice when you're oppressed.
And this pilgrimage to Karbala for this holy day, what would we see if we were actually to watch these pilgrims moving, streaming toward the city of Karbala?
Well, unlike many other Islamic or Shia holidays, it's not local. This event really is about moving to Karbala, where you see millions of Shias traditionally chanting Hussein's name, talking about the sacrifice that he and his family and followers made, and moving to the tomb, which is centrally located in Karbala. And these visitations to Karbala, especially for poor Shias, who oftentimes see it as a substitute for Hajj, which might be out of their reach. It's an effort to have the imam intercede on their behalf, to improve their lives, to forgive their sins, any wrongdoings that they might have committed. And it's also expected to bring rewards in the afterlife.
Now, this visitation was banned, though, for a time under Saddam Hussein.
That's right. One of the largest uprisings against the Ba'ath Party was in February 1977, where the agitators riled up pilgrims to revolt against the Ba'ath. And since then, from 77 until the overthrow of the Saddam regime, it was tightly regulated. Sometimes it was outright banned, but clearly there was a lot of surveillance of pilgrims and pilgrim routes and vetting of who was allowed to lead pilgrim groups. And you hear reports in Iraq from the 1991 uprisings that rebels found hundreds of videotapes of pilgrimage routes and about focusing on leaders of pilgrims and who was leading people there. In case something happened, they would know who to crack down on.
Just curious, Professor Patel, do people from other countries outside of Iraq go on this pilgrimage?
When they're able to, yes. So in the first few Arbains after 2003, you did see tremendous numbers, especially of Iranian pilgrims coming in. There's large Shia communities in Lebanon, in Bahrain, who'd like to participate in this. But the security situation obviously makes it tremendously difficult right now.
Is the pilgrimage viewed differently by Shiites this year because of the sectarian violence? Are people more committed or perhaps more wary?
That's unclear, but it is clear that Arbain and the general Ashura celebrations that happened 40 days ago have become very important for Shias as an expression of identity post-invasion. And if you die on the pilgrimage, your chances of going to heaven are obviously much higher. So even though the situation is very bad, people still seem willing to take the risks.
Professor Patel, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you very much.
David Patel is a professor at Cornell University, and he's a fellow at the Center for International Security and Cooperation at Stanford University.